Thanks for tuning in to High on Horror. I'm Drew.
And I'm John. This episode and every future episode is dedicated to all the horror hounds and smokers out there who want to expand their knowledge of the genre and have a good time.
We are back from hiatus, and man, it feels good to be back. John, I missed you, man. It's good to see you.
Yeah, bro. It's been way too long. I swear, like, we went through 3 months of just us taking turns being sick. We're we're going to record this week. Okay, yeah, I got COVID. My kids got COVID. This, like, somebody's got a strep throat. Like, Jesus, it's just been, like, one after the other, but we're back.
Yeah, it was at the point, listeners out there, it was at the point where we usually take, like, a season break, and we're just going to call that our season break.
So yeah, I mean, we appreciate the messages asking when new episodes were coming out.
Yes, thank you.
Hopefully now we're back.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about and cover in the next few weeks, and we're going to get it started with a review for Night Swim today on
High on Horror.
Interviews, reviews, and the latest news all rolled into one. Now it's time for Strain Wreck, the segment of our show where we discuss what strain we're getting wrecked on. It's been a while, and man, we got to tear it down today. I hope you brought some good shit, John. What's on the slab today?
Yeah, and I mean, we are actually recording on 420.
Yeah, precisely.
So I got some pre-rolls left over. This one's Animal Mints.
Animal Mints, all right.
And Animal Mints, it is a hybrid marijuana strain. I don't know why.
It sounds aggressive. I hope that this is like a strong like indica.
It's made by crossing animal cookies with cinnamon cookies. Animal Mints produces a strong body and head high, making it ideal for after work and evening use. The strain features a sweet, pungent aroma that is minty on the exhale. On the exhale, though.
Did I miss it? Is it indica or sativa?
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. Okay.
But actually, it says it's a hybrid here on Leafly, but the actual container came in, said it was an indica.
Okay.
I didn't even look at all the stuff I bought. I literally only bought indica stuff this week.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Medical marijuana patients choose this strain to help relieve symptoms associated with stress. The effects are relaxed, hungry, and sleepy. Negatives, no dry mouth. Just paranoid, headache, and anxious. And while I get this sparked up here, have you seen the trailer for Trap yet?
The new M. Night Shyamalan movie. Yep.
Yeah, the M. Night Shyamalan, John.
You know, and the thing about it, yeah, I have seen it, and I'm glad you brought it up, because the thing that I actually, everybody's going to be like, that's what you took away from it? It's just good to see Josh Hartnett. He is very picky and choosy about what he does, and I always thought that he was a pretty decent actor. I loved him in The Faculty. He was great in Penny Dreadful, so the fact that he is actually the lead in a movie, and regardless of in a genre movie at that, I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to watch the movie and see how he does. His M. Night Shyamalan's movies are give or take with me. We discussed that at our Knock at the Cabin review.
And one big thing to take out is he actually has a decent haircut. He don't have that H2O cut. That's all I ever think of Josh Hartnett, is that just like hair sticking out on
the
one spot.
It's the same hair in The Faculty. He just carried the shit over. It's like he switched high schools, and just it's the same character, just switched high schools. You know, it's actually funny because The Faculty was filmed after H2O. H2O was filmed before, but H2O came out after. So even though... I don't mean to get sidetracked from Trap, I'm sorry, but my point is that in H2O it says introducing Josh Hartnett in the opening credits of Halloween H2O, but by then The Faculty had already come out because they put off Halloween H2O, so it was actually Josh Hartnett's second film, and it said introducing Josh Hartnett, so a lot of people were like, hey, it says introducing, isn't that the dude from The Faculty? How's it introducing if he's already been in a movie? You know
what's funny is there's now we're really getting into the weeds here. Pun intended. There's another Halloween actor who filmed his first and was listed as introducing, but it wasn't his first movie that came out.
No kidding.
Paul Rudd for Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Does it say it's...
Well, is introducing, I think it says Paul Steven Rudd.
No shit.
But Clueless actually came out before Curse came out, but Curse was the first movie he made.
I don't think anybody's ever put the time and effort into putting
Josh Hartnett. It's funny because I didn't really know the Josh Hartnett one.
I saw your eyes lit up when I say that. So I was like, oh, he's connected the dots somewhere.
But what did you think of the trailer now that we got out on tangents?
I thought the trailer looked pretty good. a lot of people are saying that the trend, well, I shouldn't focus so much on what other people are saying. It's just what I'm hearing. And what I'm seeing in the comments is people are saying, hey, the twist has already been given away. It's already given the biggest spoiler away in the trailer. And I'm like, honestly, anybody who thinks that is an idiot. M. Night Shyamalan, if something in the trailer, he is so deceiving with his movies. If there's anything we've learned, it's how he will flip a script so fucking quickly. And the fact that there's, you know, what's in the trailer, watch it for yourselves. But that, trust me, there's more to come. If he's willing to give that away in the trailer, that is not the twist in the movie.
I was telling you, I was talking with a coworker, and we were talking about, like, how stuff doesn't add up, but yeah. Then the whole idea is, well, it's still an M. Night movie, so
yep.
All the stuff were like the one in the trailer, my coworker pointed out, why didn't they just arrest him when he showed up? Or once everybody's in there, why don't they just like close in on him and arrest him if they know who he is? And I'm like, damn, that's a good point. Yeah. But then he follows it up with, well, it is an M. Night Shyamalan movie. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, I mean, but I feel like they're either, he either has big hits or big misses. There's nothing in between. I don't know about his bowel movements personally, but
I just mean the movies can be shit. Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to it though. I'll check it out. It's always nice when he's a big name, so you know it's always good attention for the horror genre when you have a lot of good stuff going on with the horror genre.
And he reps Philly, so it's local.
True that. Yeah. Well, anyway, today's film, Night Swim, is based on a critically acclaimed short film from a decade ago by the same director, Bryce McGuire. And Bryce stated in an interview that his imagination ruined pools for himself, so he wanted to put that to film. It's funny because when I watched the movie, I told my wife that this movie seems like a short story that got stretched into a feature-length film and it's not working. And it's one of those things that should only be and stay 4 minutes long. I didn't particularly like the short film, though, honestly. John, did you like it? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw the short film, and I actually did like it. I saw it after I saw Night Swim, and I didn't know if it would taint me, maybe, from watching the feature, but I thought it was actually creepy, and it was suspenseful in those 4 minutes.
Well, it didn't do anything for me personally. I didn't care for, it didn't do it. Like, certain ones do it for me. That one didn't. But I want to go back and say for a second, I am sorry for the bridge into the movie discussion. I'm already, this animal mince is kicked in. I realized we were just talking, and then I went right into, there was, no, break or, anyway, now it's time to talk about the movie. I just went right into it.
So. Hey, it's 4:20. We're already baked before we started this.
Listen, like we said before, this is guerrilla podcasting at its finest. We're not perfect, but anyway, I did want to say that I wasn't a fan of the short film. And before this, Bryce McGuire had directed other short films and had written some projects. That's pretty much what he was known for. I gotta say that this fad of giving people their first feature-length movie with a studio by expanding short films only works a handful of times in reality. The most recent example that I can give you of a short film being expanded into a full movie successfully is Lights Out. That movie was pretty creepy. The director of that, David F. Sandberg, went on to do Annabelle Creation, which is by far still the best installment in the Annabelle series and the only good Annabelle movie.
I was going to say, yes, by saying it's the best thing. It's not necessarily a glowing endorsement, but you followed it up with the only good one.
Yeah, this wasn't one of those. This isn't a, before you'll hear our reviews, but this isn't a prime example of a short film becoming a feature-length movie. So, John, before we get into more, let's tell our listeners what the movie's about so we can talk about it.
Sorry, I was still
hitting that animal mints.
Yeah, hitting them animal mints. All right, let's get into it. Night Swim is the age-old tale of a star baseball player forced into retirement who ends up buying a house with a haunted swimming pool. And the movie stars Wyatt Russell, Kerry Condon, Amelia Hoferl, I'm sure I butchered that, and Gavin Warren.
Wyatt Russell will always be Zook to me from 21 Jump Street. That's never going to change. I will always consider him Zook.
And the film starts in 1992 when a young girl, Rebecca Summers, goes to get a toy boat out of a pool for her very ill brother. I don't know. I just was like, why do you need to get this? Because she goes and checks on him, and like, he's sleeping. I could wait till morning. Like, yeah. Homeboy's asleep. Just let it go. He doesn't need that boat.
Maybe she didn't want him to wake her up early in the morning to get it. I don't know.
And after some scenes of suspense, the inevitable happens. She's pulled underwater by something unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So then we fast forward to present day, and Ray Waller, played by Wyatt Russell, moves with his family after his retirement from the game. He mentions the pool would be good to help him get better. He ends up falling in the pool as well. Why are there so many people falling in his goddamn pool?
Right, and it's funny, you know, because Knowledge Nug, Wyatt Russell said that he was actually fed up with water on day one of filming.
I can see why. I guarantee they made him fall into that pool with the fucking leaves and the fucking cover like so many times.
Yeah, that shit has to be annoying. I also want to say that I really liked how, on top of them showing, you know, them moving into the house and people falling into pools, that the film tries to go into the relationships of, you know, he and his wife and their kids, and the kids going to new schools again, and how, you know, they're tired of the kids always having to go to schools because he's always being traded or whatever to different teams. So they tried early in the beginning of the film to establish some character development and some depth to these characters and their relationships.
Yeah, I don't remember too much of that.
I'm not saying it worked. I'm just trying to say they tried.
All right, let me get back into my notes here. Yeah, so Ray ends up cutting his hand while cleaning out the pool, but it ends up healing miraculously in like a day. He starts taking the bandage off, and you see it's all healed up. The more time Ray spends in the pool, the better his health is improved. Oh, and when they have someone come inspect the pool, the family's informed that the pool takes its water from a nearby spring.
Correct. But I do want to say real quick, I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to say that the one thing I liked, though, was that the mom, I don't have her name up in front of me, forgive me, that's the mom of the film.
Eve, or the actress's name?
Eve works.
Yeah, Carrie Condon was the actress.
She sees something night one and isn't dumb like most horror movie people are and just thinks, oh, okay, you know, I saw something by the pool. I was just seeing shit. Like, she, from night one, she's like, okay, something's up with this house. And I liked that she wasn't an idiot, because you'd expect her character to be one based on prior films.
Yeah, Ray's wife, Eve, she's concerned about the changes in Ray. Like, weird things start happening. The kids are attacked in the pool. The cat goes missing. Ray tries drowning a kid at a pool party.
Yeah, they all fucking just nearly, yeah, drowns him. It's absolutely crazy.
And then right before he attempts to drown the kid, the realtor tells Kay about Rebecca Summers from back in 92.
Mm-hmm.
Eve does some research and learns about other missing children. She ends up finding Rebecca's mom, Lucy, who tells Eve that the water is from a healing spring.
Yep.
However, you must make a sacrifice for it to work. And she reveals she sacrificed Rebecca to heal her son.
Yep.
And Eve now fears for one of her children.
Well, wait, can I ask you, what's up with the black boogies and tears? Like, I found no explanation for that. It's just a visual way to say I'm possessed by water. Basically. I don't know. But I do want to say real quick, sorry to butt in again, but so the story to you listeners out there, this whole story as per the movie is, the pool is a spring-fed water, it's spring-fed, it's tapped into groundwater, well water, is supposed to be good for your health and skin. Spring water gives deepest desires. Once the water is awoken, it will take a life. In other words, sacrifice a person in your family, and you'll live prosperous and healthy in return. Love requires sacrifice.
And right. So then we end up with the family confronting a possessed Ray. Eve ends up being helped by Rebecca's spirit. They literally knock the spirit out of Ray. I mean, they literally beat his ass.
They hopped him pretty good. I just realized the fucking my bad. The blizzy went out in my hand.
They beat the shit out of Ray. Knocked the spirit out of him.
He pukes up black shit.
Why is it always black?
Like, we haven't seen that before.
He ends up sacrificing himself to save the family. So now the remaining family members decide to fill the pool and not move so no one else falls victim. Fuck that.
Dude, the worst victim is the cat. The cat is the first victim of the family. Fuck that, man. Leave that cat alone. But yeah, there was also things though, like, you know, the pool fucks with people, like the Marco Polo scene and like the quarter scene where there's the kids swimming and quarters are being thrown in the water. They try to throw it in the water. They try to give the water personality, but it's anyway.
Ain't working for me, dog.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, for me, there's nothing special about this movie. It was boring. It's hard to find any positives. The opening shot that has the camera rotate on the pool, that was kind of cool.
I thought the same thing. I was like, that was a cool camera angle. All downhill from here.
Otherwise, I could not wait for this to be over.
Same.
You knew what the twist was going to be with the pool. I even made a joke to Nicole while watching it. Let me guess, the pool's built on a Native American burial ground. I mean, close enough.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the lowest version of a possession and supernatural movie. I'd give it a 2.2 out of 10.
You know, it feels like a Tubi movie, but with a Hollywood like budget and polished look. Like, seriously, like one of those like mundane, like how did, like, feels like a beginning. It feels like a, I'm not going to go too hard. Anyway, as far as it looks to me like Bryce McGuire took the Amityville Horror plot and just fucking dropped it in the deep end of a pool. Pun intended. Ooh. It's the Amityville Horror of pool movies, but it fucking sucks. It's the worst kind of movie. It's boring. It's flat. It's completely flat. There's no meaning or social commentary. It is literally just fast-paced, get to the point, cheap tricks, cheap horror tricks, and cheap scares. It's not scary in the least bit, though. It's not suspenseful. There's no build-up to anything. It's just shitty jump scares that don't even work. It's that wrestling match. If you're a wrestling fan out there, you'll get this reference. It's that wrestling match that gets no reaction from the crowd.
It's that X-Pac heat.
It's the absolute waste of time. That match where you're working your ass off and people couldn't care less. They could be staring at a blank wall. This movie's terrible. 2.5 out of 10. It's a complete dud. It's not even background or movie material. Like, I'm not going to... When this is free on... Oh, it is. Fuck, it's on Peacock now. Never mind.
Yeah, it's on the car.
To me, it's not even one... I always say, like, there's terrible movies that I'll rewatch. This isn't terrible in a good way. This is actually terrible in a bad way. This is... I wouldn't put it on in the background while I was doing chores or cleaning the house. Like, I'm not going to watch it again. I'm done.
We had actually rented it on Vudu a while ago.
Yeah, I paid $20 for that shit to rent it.
You rented it.
Yeah.
And, so we watched it then because we were going to record that. God knows how long ago that was. And when we finally decided we were going to be able to record this week, and we're like, Night Swim, I'm like, in my head, I went, I got to fucking watch that again.
Me too.
I was like, it's been too long since I've seen it. I want to remember everything. I'm like, but I don't want to have to watch it.
Same. I was like, thank God it's really like only a 90-minute run because... Like, if it was like a 2-hour movie, that would have been brutal.
It's an hour and a half, and it should probably be maybe an hour.
It should have been 4 minutes. It was fine at 4 minutes.
I got nothing else to add. Let's wrap this bitch up.
All right.
Thanks to all the horror hounds and smokers out there for tuning in. And join us next week. Fingers crossed, nothing comes up and we're back for good. Because we said that last time and then we went on hiatus again. But anyway, next week we have Exorcist Believer from, some might say, the GOAT of horror directors, David Gordon Green.
Fuck, dude, I literally just was talking about how I'm happy that Night Swim wasn't 2 hours long because I didn't want to sit through a 2-hour piece of shit and hear you talking about Exorcist Believer.
Yeah, the fun part is you've already seen it and don't like it. I still got to watch it.
Oh, God.
So we'll bring that to you next week.
Yeah, okay, let me put it to you this way. Again, I always cut you off. I have to say this real quick. You remember how when you watch a Serbian film, how it's burned into your head in a sense that, like, you don't need to, like, when you watched it the second time you said it to me, you're like, I didn't even need to watch it. Like, it was burned into my, it was like 5-6 year gap, and you were like, I remembered everything. It's burned into, I don't need to rewatch Exorcist Believer because it's burned into my head how fucking bad it is.
Damn.
I don't need to rewatch it. I can tell you what
I will say, there is the John Carpenter quote, haha, how do you fuck up the Exorcist?
Well, you're about to find out, buddy. I'm sorry.
So, I'm in for a fun watch, apparently. Let's see if I hate it as much as Drew does.
Watch us be arguing about it. You'll be
like, yeah, this might be better than the original.
This is better than Halloween 2018, man.
Anyway, so follow us online. High on Horror 420, Facebook, Instagram, X. I always feel like we're talking about porn when we say that.
No, I do too.
Oh, jeez. TikTok, I think. send us your puff ass questions, highonhorror420@gmail.com.
Hit that like and subscribe button.
Like and subscribe it all day, dog. And then check out our website, highonhorror.com. And I'll about wrap her up. Catch you later.
See you next week.